All right, 9:40 on a Tuesday Pacific time. That's time we check in with SailSportTalk.com's Karen Lyle, co-hosting this segment with me. And if you've been listening the last few weeks, we know that she is in the British Virgin Islands, and she has just turned in her boat. So are you in Road Town now, Karen? Welcome back.
Oh, well, actually, I'm now at in St. Thomas. We just came by the Road Town Fast Ferry. It's about a 50-minute, very, very fast ferry coming from the British Virgin Islands to the American. And I'm actually on the boat still because we haven't disembarked yet. So if you hear a very, very loud engine in the background, I don't know if you can hear that. That's the boat. It's the Sweet Caroline is the name of the boat.
Hmm. So how overall, a fortnight on the high seas, what were some of the highs and lows, or were there any lows?
It was one of the best trips I've had, for sure. And it was a great, my brother and just a few friends, crew, really had a wonderful time. You kind of say when you're in the BVI that if you don't like the weather, wait around 15 minutes and you'll get something else you like. And we had a big storm yesterday. I mean, yesterday was a very adventurous day. We were coming from, to the Indians, from Joost van Dijk is where we were coming from. And so, a tropical wave was coming through the British Virgin Islands on Monday, and we could see the sky really dark ahead, because when you go into a squall, you can actually see it because it's almost like a wall of rain. And it's like those little Charlie Brown cartoons where they had the little cloud that falls to Charlie Brown. It's kind of like you go into this, and when you're in it, it's quite severe weather. And so we had winds up to about 35 knots, gusts up to 35 knots, and we had to drop the main really quick, and it was really difficult to keep it into the wind because it was very shifty, So it would just, it was a challenge. I mean, quite a challenge, and, the rain is coming down, and my glasses are just, there's no point in cleaning glasses. You're looking through sheets of rain, and sailing, it's quite a dramatic experience. But actually, I have one of my crew here, John Griffiths, and he could probably tell you this was his first time to the British Virgin Islands and ever doing a trip like this. So if you'd like to ask him what it's like for a first-timer, I'd be more than happy to pass this one over to him.
John Griffiths, you said?
Griffiths, G-R-I-V-A-S.
John Grivas. Grivas? Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Sure, hand the phone to him.
Okay, I will.
Hi, Rick.
Hello. Is John Griffiths? Is that the name here?
Yeah, that's me, yeah.
Nice to have you on. We got a little live radio show going on right now. Wanted to ask you, the old saying, red skies at night, sailors delight. Red skies in morning, sailors take warning. Is that true?
I don't know that. I think it could be true in certain situations. I don't think it's always true, but I don't know enough about sailing to answer that question.
Well, do you, because we always hear, go with the waves or into the waves, don't fight the waves, sideways. Is that sometimes hard to do when you don't even know the direction of the waves?
Yeah, I mean, you always kind of want to be hitting the waves head on, but the waves were changing all the time, depending on which way the wind was blowing and, our heading and stuff. So it was always a bumpy ride, right?
So at what point does it get so bad that you just batten down the hatches and furl everything up? Or did you have the sails out the entire time?
Yeah, we had the sails out. We had the main and the jib out. And then we had to take the main down in the squall, And so it was definitely challenging. It was slightly hair raising for me, because I'd never been in a squall before, So, yeah.
And you were in charge of the boat?
No. The captain in my club was in charge of the boat.
Oh, I see.
Karen.
Oh, I thought she was... okay, my bad. All right. Well, hey, it's good meeting you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Rick. You want to talk to Karen?
Sure. You can pass the phone back to Karen.
Here's Karen. Okay, then.
We just got kicked off the boat so we don't go back to the BEI. This is the factory. It goes right back to where it came from. Even the captain came out and said, did you want to go back to the BEI? And the answer, of course, is yes, but... I do have a plane going out tomorrow.
Got so John was he was just a passenger like you were then?
Well, no, I wasn't just a passenger. I was the one who charted the boat. They call me the little admiral. Michael, my brother, was the captain. So while on the boat, he was acting in the role of captain, and I acted in the role of first mate. So I basically handled the people aboard. Michael handled the trip planning and what was happening with that. We have very specific roles. And then John was our crew, but we were teaching him what to do. This is his first time doing it. But he's a surfer. He's very experienced on the water and did a lot of snorkeling. And then we had Michael's very girlfriend was also along, and she helped out and had a great time, too.
The little admiral. Tell us what the first mate does, please.
Okay. So the first mate's responsibility is, of course, if the captain has to step away from the helm or you know is off the boat, then I'm the captain. Well, during that time, but the other thing is that I'm basically handling the people. So I give people the safety instructions. I tell I decide who has what role and handle any of the interactions and explain to everybody what we're going to be doing and so forth. So captain handles the boat. He handles the decisions as to where we're going, what conditions, how to handle those different things, and I handle the people and help along with that.
Are you guys?
I've been trained. I'm a captain too, but I just actually when I'm on vacation, which is what this was, what I enjoy doing the most is being a first mate. I actually don't really want to be the captain if I'm on vacation. I'd rather have someone else take that responsibility.
So, are you guys wearing life jackets at all times, or are you too cool for that?
The thing is, you want to wear a life jacket when there's a circumstance that merits it. Like, if you're sailing in the San Francisco Bay Area, you have to have a life jacket at all times because the water is 55 degrees. And if you go in the water and something happens to you, you start having hypothermia after 45 minutes. Where in the BVI, the water's, 80 degrees. And so you can just jump off the side of the boat, I think, we do have life jackets on the boat, but we usually don't use them unless the circumstances merit. Because we're just going sailing from island to island. It might be like a 2-hour sail, and you catch a mooring ball, and then your boat's on the mooring ball for the rest of the day and evening, and you're either snorkeling or you're, taking the dinghy to shore and doing a little hike or... just hanging out in the back of the boat, watching the birds dive, right? Or that one bird that sits on your engine and leaves guano and shoos off all the other boats. Says, this engine is mine. I'm gonna be here. You can't come.
So, just not to belabor the point, but there was that tragedy at South Lake Tahoe a few weeks ago, and the storm came out of the blue, and that's why the Coast Guard says, if you put it on for the storm, it's too late. You know what I mean?
Well, I do think that in the situation where you're going through and you know that the weather's, the life jackets are right there at our fingertips. We can just throw it on, at a moment's notice. Mm. Usually the idea is if you're in the cockpit, it's not necessary. But if you're walking forward onto the bow, especially in any kind of waves or rough condition, you want to have a life jacket on so that, if for any reason you do go overboard, then that's just taken care of. But we oftentimes use inflatable jackets that are also serve as a harness. And so if you're going out into the open ocean, which we were not really in the open ocean, we were in the channel, Sir Francis Drake Channel, then you would have a harness, and that harness would be attached to a tether, and the tether would run alongside the boat so that you have actually something that's holding you onto the boat you know, in those kind of circumstances. But this squall that we had, it lasted 30 minutes. You know, it was really high winds and challenging sailing for 30 minutes. And then all of a sudden it was clear skies and, you know, we're pulling up on a mooring and we're having, an opportunity to go snorkeling around the Indians, which is a group of rocks, and just some amazing fish. I got to see, you know, watch a barracuda and, you know, and all just, I mean, there were thousands of fish and different layers of fish going down about, you know, maybe 90 feet or something.
What was the one thing that you wanted to do, but you couldn't do it? Or did you hit everything, all the highlights?
Well, I wanted to go to Anegada, but we decided on this trip that that this was probably not the trip to go. So Anegada is an island that's built on a coral reef. It's actually part of a reef, and so it's completely flat. But it is quite a sail out through the open ocean to get there, and just taking into consideration, you know, the circumstances of the weather and other things of that day, we decided not to take that trip. But we've done it at other times, and I really enjoy that.
And then finally, the highlight of the entire trip and the low light, what were those?
Well, I think the highlight was really the snorkeling. And I'd say the best. The Norman Caves were number two, the Indians were number one, and then there was another place called Diamond Cave, which was really the best. Now, the low light probably would be, there was one place that we stayed where there wasn't a good enough breeze going through, and it was a bit, it's because you get in a place and maybe you have your hatches open for the breeze and you get these little showers and you have to get up and close the hatches and then it's stifling hot inside the boat until that little shower goes. And if you forget and you go to sleep, then you're going to all of a sudden be baking. So you got to make sure to get up and down if there's storm, you know, little storms that come. They're not real. Those weren't storms. They're just really passing showers.
So you're on your way home then?
Well, I'm going to be here in the USVI for another day, and then we'll be home in a couple of days. You've got to unwind from these things. You know, you don't want to go back too quickly, right?
That's true. It is a it is a tough life. Karen Lyle from SailsportTalk.com. You can go online for more info, SailsportTalk.com. Have safe travels, and we'll see you back in the bay.
Okay, sounds good. We'll see you soon, Rick.
Bye-bye. All right. I'm Rick Tittle, and we'll take a commercial break and come on back on Byline.